This is Jordan Secchio. Today on Jay Secchio Live, as we begin this week, ready for the first public hearings in the so-called impeachment in the House of Representatives, Adam Schiff already begins rejecting relevant witnesses to testify.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Secchio Live.
This is not about Schiff finding the truth. This is about Schiff trying to destroy the Trump presidency.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
When you find out who the whistleblower is, I'm confident you're going to find out it's somebody from the deep state. You're going to find out that they had interactions with the Schiff, and this thing's going to stink to high heaven. And the only reason we don't know who the whistleblower is, that it hurts their cause.
And now, your host, Jordan Secchio.
Of course, if you go to the whistleblower's attorneys, Twitter feed, you can learn who the whistleblower is because he retweeted someone who named the whistleblower. He put that up, Mark Zaid. Good attorney work, but we won't focus all of our show on the incompetence of the whistleblower's very partisan coup calling, impeachment warning attorney. What we are going to focus on is how Adam Schiff, you know, we talked about the cake being baked a lot in these when it comes to these public hearings, which, by the way, are public in the sense that Republicans will be able to ask questions, and I'm glad Jim Jordan has been added to that team who will be able to ask questions of these witnesses next week. So far, we have three witnesses. These are all Democrat-called witnesses. So this is who they think is best. Bill Taylor, he was the charged affairs to Ukraine for Department of State. George Kent, who is the Deputy Assistant Secretary for European and Eurasian Affairs, who is an employee who's upset that he got cut out of the Ukraine policy, though he oversees a number of other countries. And then Friday, the lying ambassador who got fired well before this occurred, Marie Yovanovitch. Now, this is what is interesting to me. One, Adam Schiff gave Republicans, we don't have time to go through them all right now, but we're going to do this through the show today, so you want to listen. Adam Schiff gave Republicans, 2 days to put together a list of who they would like to testify and why. Okay, so you had to do a description. Well, Republicans answered. We have the full list to go through, and we've already got Adam Schiff saying no to some of the key people, like the whistleblower, anyone associated with information that gave information to the whistleblower. And those people would not be protected by any kind of anonymity. Even if that did exist, they wouldn't be protected. We're going to explain to you why that whistleblower, if this gets to the Senate and they do impeach, could be very much front and center. I mean, they will not be able to claim anonymity. They will literally be on your television screen if Republicans want, and they will have to testify. So this idea that they are going to be secret and they're going to be protected and all of that will blow all of that out the window for you. But we'll go through the list because there's some names in here that I think it's going to be very difficult for even Adam Schiff to say no to. If he says no to, then I think the Senate never has a full trial on this, because if you're going to say yes to Bill Taylor, but no to David Hale, the Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs at the State Department, to Tim Morrison, who was on the call, who was the former Senior Director for European and Russian Affairs on the National Security Council, and no to Ambassador Volker as well, who has testified already, then again, sham. But here's what's interesting, and I want to point this out. This is from CNN article from a top staffer, a leadership aide on the House, has said this. They tell as much of the story up front, and that's part of the objective. And Than, this is interesting. The first hour of the hearing, and the first hearing, and that is exciting Bill Taylor and bowtie George Kent, who's like an upset employee. The first hour, the first hearing has got to be a blockbuster, which makes me wonder what Adam Schiff, who I don't trust at all, has got up his sleeve. Because I don't see that happening with Bill Taylor or George Kent unless Democrats are just in La La Land. And it may be that they are in La La Land, but I'll ask Than about that. I want to hear from you about that as well. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. 3110. We'll stay live through the break through our Facebook and Periscope audience. Remember our matching challenge at aclj.org. Donate today.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at ACLJ.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be.
Folks, we want to recognize all of you, all the veterans who listen to this broadcast, and those of you who have family members who are veterans on this Veterans Day. And we will get back into the impeachment discussion right away. So if you're on the phone calls about that, Justin, Robert, Raj, and you already see some other calls holding, you can, of course, call 1-800-684-3110 to weigh in. Because I think, does Adam Schiff have something up his sleeve if he thinks this is going to be blockbuster within the first hour? And it's literally Bill Taylor and George Kent. But we don't want to forget Veterans Day, even though a lot of us do have to work and a lot of us, our schedules continue. And I want to play something that my dad recorded for veterans. And it also underscores the work we're doing at the ACLJ to protect veterans, especially veterans of current war, like veterans of the Afghanistan war. So check this out. This is my dad, who could not join us today on the broadcast, but wanted to play this message for everybody and for all the veterans out there.
As we honor our veterans, it's important to remember that our military defends our freedoms every single day. Now it's time for us to defend them. Our brave men and women in the military could be in grave legal danger. The International Criminal Court, the ICC, is considering a case that could lead to the prosecution of our soldiers for war crimes over our American heroes' fight in the War on Terror in Afghanistan. In less than a month, we will be presenting oral arguments through our European counterpart before the highest appellate chamber of judges of the ICC, essentially the ICC's Supreme Court. We will be making arguments in support of the interests of the U.S. military and our soldiers. This case could have massive ramifications. And because the U.S. has not joined the ICC, the U.S. government will not be presenting argument. We will be the only voice supporting our soldiers. Go to ACLJ.org to sign our petition to defend our soldiers before the ICC. Our military defends us. Now it's time to defend them.
So, folks, again, we've got that email out for Veterans Day explaining our case at the International Criminal Court. We'll get more into that later in the week before these hearings begin. And remember, we've got time in between the hearings. We've got the hearings don't start till Wednesday, and we're going to have Bill Taylor and George Kent testify first. They've already testified before. Neither one of them were actually on the phone call, so everything they're learning is based off the transcript and hearsay and policy positions that they disagree with, and especially when it comes to George Kent, who just didn't like getting cut out of Ukraine policy. This is a guy who early on they said, we don't really want to deal with this State Department bureaucrat on Ukraine, so they cut him out. So he's got a grudge. Everything he knows is based off hearsay on hearsay on hearsay, nothing that would ever be admissible in a real court. But you know what will be admissible in a real trial, which is how the Senate conducts impeachment trials, if they ever have to actually do a full trial? The whistleblower. Because, Dan, I want to get back to this. Republicans had 2 days to put forward a list of witnesses they would like to have testify to the House Intelligence Committee publicly. And they explained why. Number one was Devin Archer, former board member of Burisma Holdings. So who is Devin Archer, people may ask? Multiple Democrat witnesses in closed-door testimony explained that Ukrainian energy company Burisma has a reputation in Ukraine for corruption. Mr. Archer is Hunter Biden's long-term business partner and served as a board member of Burisma Holdings with Mr. Biden. Mr. Archer's firsthand experience with Burisma can assist the American public in understanding the nature and extent of Ukraine's pervasive corruption, information that bears directly on President Trump's long-standing and deeply held skepticism of the country, and of course continuing to send hundreds of millions of dollars to the country when you've got such their top 20 biggest companies, all 20 are known to be fairly corrupt. Now, Than, we'll start with him, and it's pretty clear from Adam Schiff's statement, absolutely not. He will not be testifying.
Yeah, anything that Chairman Schiff believes has something to do with the Bidens, Jordan, is not going to be permitted. But look, I mean, the president says that he was interested in combating corruption in Ukraine. Jordan, if there's someone who could speak to that, you would think that it might be this guy. And by the way, this is not a member of the Biden family. This is not Hunter Biden. This is not anybody related to them. But Jordan, directly related to not only the topic of the conversation, but I would tell you, even those three questions that Chairman Schiff put out, I think Devin Archer would be a relevant witness to speak to those issues. But I will bet you dollars to donuts that Devin Archer is not permitted to testify.
Hunter Biden, he's basically said no to already. Adam Schiff, a former board member of Burisma Holdings, but I want to let people know Republicans did request Hunter Biden to testify. As stated, he was that board member. He has that Burisma has that reputation for corruption in Ukraine. And according to public reporting, Burisma recruited Mr. Biden to its board to improve its public image at a time when his father was the vice president and the Obama administration's point person, Biden was. Joe Biden was, for Ukraine policy. He received $50,000 a month for his presence on the board. And Deputy Assistant Secretary George Kent, who will be testifying on Wednesday, testified that he raised concerns in 2015 to Vice President Biden's office about the appearance of a conflict of interest stemming from Mr. Biden's position on Burisma's board. So here you have an Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch. She testified that the Obama State Department prepared her to address Mr. Biden's position on Burisma during her confirmation hearing to be ambassador to Ukraine. As with Mr. Archer, Mr. Biden's firsthand experience with Burisma can assist the American public. Now, think about that. Two of the three witnesses that Adam Schiff has called to testify, Than, two of the three talked about, one, George Kent took action on Hunter Biden by contacting the vice president's office and saying this is an appearance of a conflict of interest and you may need to do something about it, and kind of left it at that. So one of their witnesses brought it up. The other, Marie Yovanovitch, who has lied already about her interactions with Democrat staffers during her testimony, she said that the Obama administration prepared her to answer questions during her confirmation hearing about Hunter Biden being on the board of Burisma. So he's brought up twice by two of the three witnesses that are testifying, chosen by Democrats. This is why I said they chose some interesting folks, because they chose two of the three who actually made Hunter Biden part of their testimony.
Jordan, think about the contrast here. I mean, I think the Democrats believe that George Kent is going to be a good witness because he's going to also be critical of politicians on the other side, most notably Hunter Biden. But think about the differences in both the channel of command that these concerns were raised and then the response to them. Jordan, these concerns that George Kent raised about Hunter Biden, they were through the official course. They were an official complaint filed against Hunter Biden, and yet what became of them? Essentially nothing. In the case that we're going to hear about on Wednesday, today, George Kent raised a hearsay concern about something that someone else told him that they heard involving potentially problematic conversations from the President of the United States. Jordan, that hearsay brings us to an impeachment proceeding that George Kent is being called to testify, whereas the official action, the official concern that he raised regarding Hunter Biden went nowhere. Jordan, if that's not a double standard in Washington, D.C., I don't know what is.
Yeah, okay, so let's keep moving through the list. Alexandra Chalupa, former DNC staffer, and during the 2016 U.S. presidential election, Alexandra Chalupa, this former DNC staffer and contractor, worked with the Ukraine embassy in D.C. to try and get political dirt on then-candidate Trump's campaign. That is cited to, again, a Politico article. She not Fox News, not conservative, Politico. She had admitted to providing anti-Trump dirt to the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign and to discussing such dirt with the Ukrainian ambassador at the time to the United States. Given President Trump's documented belief that the Ukrainian government meddled in the 2016 election to oppose his candidacy, which forms the basis for a reasonable desire for Ukraine to investigate the circumstances surrounding the election and any potential Ukrainian involvement, Ms. Chalupa is a prime fact witness who can assist Congress. Again, Than, we've gotten word from Adam Schiff, people like this, so literally, who are getting dirt from Ukraine and pulling dirt on Donald Trump, no, they can't testify.
Jordan, do you remember when the stated reason for most of these investigations was trying to combat against foreign interference in elections?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't that long ago. That was the primary reason these investigations were underway. This witness would be directly relevant to that. But, Jordan, I don't think I'm going very far out on a limb to say the Chairman Schiff is not going to open the door to someone in the political apparatus being a witness here. He's trying to narrow the scope of witnesses that are permitted. This one's not going to be allowed. Jordan, I do think as you move further down this list, though, it becomes much harder for him to make excuses because we're about ready to move into public officials who are very similarly situated to the ones he's already called.
We'll do that, and we will take your phone calls when we come back, as well as a little flashback when Adam Schiff told us all the whistleblower is going to testify soon. So why is he balking so much at the report? That was the first one. No way we're not bringing the whistleblower. By the way, I can't wait if they do have to have a trial in the Senate, and we can explain why that might be a good thing, actually, to fully exonerate the president, depending on how the Democrats, what they bring forward, how dirty they go, what may be up Adam Schiff's sleeve, if he thinks within this first hour of hearings Wednesday they can really get the American people going. It certainly ain't these two guys that'll be doing that. So what is it? That the whistleblower will have to testify publicly on TV, right, everybody, U.S. Senate. Much tougher than a hearing, by the way. Real trial, cross-examination by lawyers. So good job, Mark Zaid. Set that guy up for a lot of fun. We will be right back. There's six more.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org.
Republicans had 2 days to put together a list for Adam Schiff of who they would like to testify. No guarantees here. Adam Schiff gets to make the call on it. The first three we've gone through, Devin Archer, who's also a board member of Burisma, a Biden a friend and business partner. For Hunter, no, probably not. Hunter Biden, no, probably not. Alexandra Chalupa, who was working for the DNC, as Politico reported, to get dirt from Ukraine on Donald Trump, no, probably not. We will start getting into that next group of six requests and why that may be a little more difficult for Adam Schiff to say no to, unless he's just decided he's going to say no to all of them, but hasn't done that as of the broadcast today while we are live. But I do want to kind of set the tone for this, get some phone calls as well. Remember, this all began with the whistleblower, and Adam Schiff comes out and says, listen, we just got the information. I didn't know anything about this. This whistleblower never contacted anybody there. So he says this. This is September 17th.
We have not spoken directly with the whistleblower. We would like to.
Okay. On September 29th, this is before Adam Schiff got caught that was a lie. Remember, though. Okay, so this is what you're about to hear is before Adam Schiff got caught lying about that contact with the whistleblower. On September 29th, he does another interview where he says, yeah, the whistleblower is going to testify. Take a listen.
Do you expect the testimony of the whistleblower?
Absolutely.
Your committee already has an agreement with the whistleblower that he will testify.
We have an agreement that he or she will testify, yes.
Which, by the way, the whistleblower's attorneys never made that clear. I mean, if you look at what Mark Zaid and the others, they never made clear that the whistleblower would testify or ever do anything. I think they said that they might do something in writing, but not actually come to the committee, even in the closed-door session. But then, September 17th, Adam Schiff lies about the contact with the whistleblower and his staff. On September 29th, 2 weeks later, he says the whistleblower will testify, and they already have an agreement that the whistleblower will testify. Now, on October 3rd, what happens between September 29th and now, when he's denying Republican request to have the whistleblower testify, Adam Schiff got caught in one of the biggest lies, maybe the second biggest lie, because first he said he still had evidence of Russia collusion after the Mueller team said they did not, found none. And so he lied about that. That was a pretty huge lie for the American people. This was another big lie he got caught in, and suddenly, we don't need the whistleblower anymore because October 13th, Adam Schiff admits this.
Do you regret saying that we, the committee, weren't in touch with the whistleblower?
I should have been much more clear, and I said so the minute it was brought to my attention, that I was referring to the fact that when the whistleblower filed the complaint, we had not heard from the whistleblower. We wanted to bring the whistleblower in at that time, but I should have been much more clear about that.
And then he goes on further. So he starts already explaining away, and then we're going to get to phone calls and go through the rest of the Republican requests. He starts explaining away why now we don't need the whistleblower anymore. The guy, by the way, the first three people he has called to testify that he picked, none of them were on the call. So the only information they got was from hearsay, the transcript, based off the whistleblower filing this complaint. None of this information would even be available to any of the three people who are testifying for the Democrats this week if there was not a whistleblower, because the transcript would have never been released either. So literally, these people have no more knowledge than you or me. They just have a bias. They have an animus against the president. One, cut out of the process. Two, didn't like the policy. Three, fired from her position. And by the way, good, because she lied to Congress. So what else was she lying about during her whole time as an ambassador? Shame on you, Marie Yovanovitch. You should quit. Why are we're still paying for most of these people's, I think we're paying for all their salaries as we speak. Isn't that beautiful? They get removed from being the ambassador, but we're still paying for them. George Kent gets cut out of the process of his job. We're still paying for him. Bill Taylor, I think we're still paying for. He may have quit. But again, it's absurd. Let me just understand, though. He keeps going and he says, you don't need the whistleblower anymore. That's what we're supposed to believe. That's what the American people are supposed to believe. And I see Democrats on the left tweet this all the time. Why do you need the whistleblower now, guys? Why do you always care about so much about this whistleblower? Because most of your witnesses and the ones you picked to start off your public impeachment hearings would not have this information to even discuss if there wasn't a whistleblower. And that person is not even a legitimate whistleblower. I call them fake, not because they don't exist. I think it's morons on Twitter who say, oh, if they're fake, then everything's fake. It's not real. That's not what I mean. Fake in the sense they don't qualify as being a whistleblower under the statute for the intelligence community because it has nothing to do with the intelligence work, and it has nothing to do with it, someone who works in intelligence. So then you don't even qualify as a whistleblower. That doesn't even get into the question about can you remain anonymous. But listen to Schiff again. Shifty Schiff gets really shifty here, bite five.
Given that we already have the call record, we don't need the whistleblower who wasn't on the call to tell us what took place during the call. We have the best evidence of that. We do want to make sure that we identify other evidence that is pertinent to the withholding of the military support, the effort to cover this up by hiding this in a classified computer system. We want to make sure that we uncover the full details about the conditionality of either the military aid or that meeting with the Ukraine president. It may not be necessary to take steps that might reveal the whistleblower's identity to do that. And we're going to make sure we protect that
whistleblower. First of all, the whistleblower's identity has already been revealed by his own attorney. I leave it at that. Yes, there's others who have done it, but his own attorney did it. Than, who provided the transcript to Adam Schiff? Let's remind people. Because it was not a whistleblower. It was not a leaked document. It was not an upset White House employee. Who provided that? Who actually ordered that the transcript be provided to Adam Schiff?
The President of the United States.
Yeah, oh, you mean Donald Trump is transparent?
Yep.
My God. My God. Donald Trump ordered the transcript. Now, notice in that soundbite, Adam Schiff then never mentions that.
Well, of course not, because Jordan, you know, Adam Schiff wants you to believe that this is about the protection of the whistleblower. In fact, he wrote that. He wrote a full paragraph in a letter to Ranking Member Nunes that this is about protecting the identity of the whistleblower. But Jordan, we need to be very clear, and I think the sound that you just played did that. He always intended to have the whistleblower testify until, and this is very important, until he got caught in the lie that he had been in contact with the whistleblower prior to his admission of it. Jordan, it was that occurrence that caused him to start pivoting. And that is not an accident, Jordan. It is because he knew that if he was going to have the whistleblower come forward and that whistleblower was going to be cross-examined, which, by the way, if this goes to the Senate, that will happen. If that were to occur in his committee, Jordan, what was that whistleblower going to testify? That whistleblower was going to be forced to testify, if he was truthful, that he had had contact with Adam Schiff's staff. That was just something he could not control. So he wasn't interested in protecting the whistleblower. He was interested in protecting himself.
Now, when we come back from this break, second half hour coming up, if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, share it with your friends and family. If you're listening on the radio broadcast, we've got a lot more to cover here. So this is not going to be just like a redo. We've got a lot of phone calls to take, a lot of questions to answer from Justin, Robert, Raj, Sharon, William, and Clarice. We will get to your phone calls, I promise. We just had a lot of info to get through on this Monday before we did that. We still have got six more out of the nine that Republicans have requested. A few of these, I think, are going to be a lot tougher for Adam Schiff to say no to. We will explain why, and why they could be extremely damaging to the whole, and maybe why he does say no to this whole narrative. Why it's always dangerous when you go public. You don't know how people are going to react. We're taking your phone calls. We're also got a matching challenge right now. Matching challenge, the whole month of November, whatever you donate to the ACLJ is effectively doubled. It's a great time to support the work of the ACLJ. And of course, today we remember our veterans on this Veterans Day and the brave sacrifice they make.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
When you find out who the whistleblower is, I'm confident you're going to find out it's somebody from the deep state. You're going to find out that they had interactions with the Schiff, and this thing's going to stink to high heaven. And the only reason we don't know who the whistleblower is, that it hurts their cause.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
I don't know if Lindsey Graham, Senator Graham mentioned or not, but I do like referring to him as the Schiff. Now it's like he's like, you know, because he wants to be the prosecutor. He wants to be more than just like Congressman Schiff. So now he's the Schiff. First of all, let me again on this Veterans Day thank all of you who have served our country, those who have family members serving now, and those who have family that did serve. None of us would be able to do what we do without veterans who have protected us throughout the decades of centuries of the American existence. And so it's an important day, not one that we all have off as a holiday, but it's certainly an important day to recognize the sacrifice, the honor, the duty, in many cases, the volunteering to serve. And I want to remind people, too, you know, we've got a case at the International Criminal Court it's coming up in just a couple weeks, defending the interest of the U.S. military against ICC, International Criminal Court jurisdiction. So it's usually these brave men and women, they fight for us. And comparing anything we fight for is like not even the same. I mean, they're fighting on a battlefield, life and death. But this time around, we have got to fight for them and their interest. And we're doing so directly, the ACLJ. So again, a big thank you to all those veterans. I want to get right to the phone calls, and then we're going to keep working through the list of, so we've got through the first three that Adam Schiff's definitely going to say no to. Adam Schiff is not going to allow Devin Archer, Hunter Biden's business partner, who is also a Burisma board member, to testify. He's not going to allow Hunter Biden to testify. He's not going to allow Alexandra Chalupa, who is the DNC staffer working on getting dirt from the Ukraine embassy in Washington on Donald Trump, to testify. Those are the first three. So we're going to keep working through these, but I also want to get to the phone calls as well. We'll go in order. And everyone today, if you don't have it already, you will get a copy signed by me of The Next Red Wave, because I think everybody who's been holding it about meets that standards now. By the way, The Next Red Wave, it's available wherever books are sold, nextredwave.com. We predicted in this book that when Mueller was done, the deep state was not. And now we've gotten to this impeachment point with deep state actors. And I don't think they'll be done after this, by the way, folks. I don't think they'll be done through Election Day. I think they'll keep coming with things. And if President Trump's reelected, I don't think they'll be done then. So this book is very relevant to right now. If you don't have your copy, go to thenextredwave.com. Purchase your copy today, whether it's the hardback, the audiobook, or the ebook, thenextredwave.com, which predicted this. It said the deep state's going to keep coming and coming. You need to get educated. And for all the callers that make it on today, they will get a copy of The Next Red Wave as well. Let's go into Robert, calling from Maryland, online too. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Lives.
Yeah, hi, Jordan. Hi, Dan. I wanted to ask the both of you, why are the Democrats in the House trying to impeach President Trump? Article 2, Section 4 of the Constitution states that impeachment should be the conviction of treason, bribery, or the high government misdemeanors. What type of treason, bribery, or the high government misdemeanors has President Trump committed for the Democratic Party in the House to want to impeach President Trump? Second question I wanted to ask are, why are Adam Schiff and the Democrats preventing the Republicans from calling witnesses that they want to have testify? And three, do you believe that the Democrats in the House are successful in being able to impeach President Trump?
Okay, so one, they can make up the crimes they want. They draw up the articles. Are there actually any crimes? No. No. There's no evidence of any crimes whatsoever, but that doesn't matter. They will draw up their articles of impeachment. Two, and I mean, you can get much further into that. Two, why will they not allow? And we can get into that more. We will, too, in the next break, Robert. One of the reasons why is because if you allow the Republicans to call their witnesses, their whole game is exposed. And then it gets to your third question. I don't think that they could impeach the president in the House if you allowed these witnesses to testify. So you've got to keep those witnesses out. You got to keep the Biden narrative out. The Ukraine was putting out dirt on the Trump campaign. You got to keep that out. And so third, will they impeach? Yeah, I think that they're on the path to do that in the House Democrats.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
This is a great month, by the way, to support the work of the ACLJ, whether we are exposing this impeachment nonsense through our radio broadcast, Jay Sekulow Live, the legal work that we're doing, the Planned Parenthood case in California heading to the jury, I believe, this week, and closing arguments. I mean, you've got the ICC case. I mean, it's Veterans Day, and there we will be in a couple of weeks defending U.S. troops from the International Criminal Court's jurisdiction. This is a great time to support the work of the ACLJ, and it's not just because of those cases, but because your donation will be effectively doubled. So if you support the work of the ACLJ in the month of November, it's a matching challenge month. What does that mean? Those of you who listen may know, but give me the time, because again, we have to raise the money to do all of this work, to provide all this information to you, to get all the research done as a nonprofit organization. Remember, we've got a group of donors who say they will match every donation that comes through in the month of November. If it's a $10 donation, they'll match that. And that means it really becomes like a $20 donation. If it's a $100 donation, they're going to match that. Every single one of them that comes through in the month of November, they will match. But they only match the donations that come through. So they don't donate and they don't match unless you take the initial initiative to make a financial contribution to the American Center for Law and Justice. But it's a great time, because whether you're a regular donor, whether you've thought about donating, whether you've never donated before, but you're kind of interested in doing it now, it's a great way to even take a small amount and double the impact of it. And if you want to donate a larger amount, double the impact of that as well. So again, aclj.org, safely, securely donate online and be part of our matching challenge. It's aclj.org. And again, you're not going to be, when I say it will double the impact of your donation, you're going to be charged the amount you put in, tax deductible. That's the amount that you donate. But know that we know also that because you did it in the month of November, it's really like you could double that amount, because that's really what it's like for the American Center for Law and Justice. And a big thank you for those of you who have already taken part in our November matching challenge at aclj.org. Let's work through a couple more witness requests by the Republicans, and then take more of your phone calls. Okay, so we've gotten through the first three, which will definitely be no's. But here, Than, we start getting to some people who I think it gets tougher for Adam Schiff. He hasn't said yes or no on these yet. He's going to have to pretty soon. David Hale, Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs. All three committees interviewed Undersecretary Hale on November 6, 2019, so in the secret hearings. He has direct knowledge of U.S. government policy with respect to foreign assistance and foreign assistance review. So whether or not aid was withheld and why it was withheld, which is critical to informing the American public's understanding of President Trump's posture on such matters. Given Undersecretary Hale's firsthand knowledge of events preceding and surrounding Ambassador Yovanovitch, that's Marie Yovanovitch, the lying ambassador who's going to be testifying Friday, and her recall from Ukraine, as well as Undersecretary Hale's communications with Ambassador Taylor regarding Ukraine matters. He is testifying, Bill Taylor, on Wednesday. The American people deserve from Undersecretary Hale. Again, he's already testified. So how does Adam Schiff try to figure out a way around these kind of folks, Dan?
There's no legitimate reason on this witness request, Jordan. I mean, none. The firsthand knowledge that he has about Ambassador Yovanovitch's removal would be reason enough. But, yeah. Jordan, remember, all of this is premised on whether or not and how the president can dole out the foreign assistance that Congress grants. Remember, it's the executive branch that is responsible for actually giving that security assistance over after Congress appropriates it. David Hale, Jordan, would be someone who can explain to the American people exactly how that not only works today, but how it's worked over the decades past. And while we haven't seen the transcript yet, Jordan, every indication is that David Hale gave a pretty good explanation to the committee of that. I think that should inform how the American people look at this. They need to know how this security assistance has been doled out in the past, what the custom is, what the process it goes through. Because again, Jordan, that is at the very root of the attacks that are coming against the president right now. I don't think the chairman can reasonably exclude David Hale.
We'll do one more, and then we'll go through the final four more quickly. Tim Morrison, he was on the phone call, for goodness sakes. Former senior director for European and Russia affairs on the National Security Council, and they want him to testify on the same panel as Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, who's on the National Security Council, assuming that they call him to testify. Three committees have already deposed Mr. Morrison. Adam Schiff will not release his transcript, interesting enough, even though he was actually on the call. He was one of the few witnesses who have testified who was actually on the July 25th phone call and subsequently dealt with matters on the NSC, the National Security Council, related to the U.S. military assistance to Ukraine. So if you intend to call Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, who worked for Mr. Morrison, so a lower-level staffer, to publicly testify, then Mr. Morrison should be sitting on the same panel as Mr. Vindman. Again, Than, maybe I think that Adam Schiff has a tough call to make. Vindman, you know, showing up in his military attire from the NSC, saying, you know, he thinks this, his view, his position, he was on the call, you know, what was his take on the call, and did he think it was wrong and all of that. But again, he's not an attorney. But then having, if you're going to call him, Republicans have put in a very, I think, just very fair request, then you need to call his boss who was on the call as well, Tim Morrison.
Yeah, Jordan, I mean, this one's simple. If Vindman clears the threshold to be a witness for these proceedings, then clearly Morrison does as well, because Jordan, he's got all of the direct access to the evidence that Vindman does. But like you said, he's his superior. He's his boss. So he's actually going to have more say in how things are handled. So, again, I think the Republicans putting Morrison on this list, Jordan, maybe what it ultimately does is excludes Vindman from being called. But if you call Vindman, there's no way you can exclude Morrison.
All right. So then we'll go through the next. There's three. There's what is it, six, seven, three more people, and then one more. Actually, two more people, then one more group. But I do want to keep taking phone calls as we go through this. So let's go to William in Texas on line five. William, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Thanks for holding on. We'll get you a signed copy of The Next Red Wave.
Hey, Jay. How you doing?
We're good, William.
Happy Veterans Day.
Yes, absolutely. We want to thank all those veterans who are listening right now as we acknowledge them, we celebrate them on this Veterans Day. William, you're on the air.
Okay. I believe the question was, is what do I think Adam Schiff is up to?
Yeah. I mean, because they're putting out this talking point that within the first hour of the hearing Wednesday, they make or break. And the Democrats are putting out that talking point. Now, that makes my kind of say, you know, go off in my head, because the witnesses don't seem like the types who would do that. So is Adam Schiff going to pull another stunt where he makes up a fake transcript, some kind of total lie? Get the American. What's he up to? What do you think, William?
I think he's doing exactly what they are accusing President Trump of doing. only he is using the investigative powers of the legislative branch to, quote, dig up dirt on a political opponent, unquote.
Yeah. So do you think he's got more info, William, that it, like, he's going to try to dump more info on the president or something like that, like pull some stunt?
Well, yeah, I mean, the only thing that makes sense, he knows the Senate's not going to impeach the president. He's prolonging the vote so that he doesn't lose control of the process. So they're just trying to sway public opinion and to smear the greatest president we've ever had.
Well, I let me tell you something. It's definitely about public opinion, and they don't have it right now. I mean, it's a divided country politically. It remains divided. That's not the kind of times you can usually pull off an impeachment. You pull off an impeachment when Republicans or Democrats, regardless, you know, depending on who the president is, start peeling off both their elected officials, but also really the base of the party, the spokespeople for the party. And that moment has certainly not occurred. And there's no information that's been released yet that would even indicate that that moment will occur, even from some of the more critical, the Mitt Romney types. I don't see them voting to impeach the, you know, remove the president of the United States just because they don't like something. They're not calling it necessarily an impeachable offense. So, I agree with you that this is about how much damage you can inflict on the president before the election because your candidates are so bad. And by the way, even one of those bad candidates I want to defend today, Michael Bloomberg, because just as a reminder, don't have a lot of time to spend on anti-Semitic Ilhan Omar, but she tweeted another anti-Semitic attack, this time on what looks like to be the latest Democrat to enter the field, Michael Bloomberg, when she retweeted, she put out a tweet saying, well, no surprise, this guy who was Jewish endorsed Michael Bloomberg. I mean, that was what her tweet was. This is someone who has been accused of you know, anti-Semitism and supposedly has got, you know, a lot of people trying to help her through that. So, again, the squad keeps their anti-Semitism alive, even in attacks on fellow Democrats. Glad I'm not one of them. Glad I'm not in that party, if you will. And again, we don't tell you who to vote for. But the way that they're moving, it's just a dangerous place to be because everybody's getting, you know, you're under attack because you're Jewish heritage, and Michael Bloomberg finds himself under that attack day one of even thinking about getting in the political race. By the way, a political race which makes sense for him to even think about getting in, since Democrats obviously don't want us focusing on those candidates. They wouldn't be doing this whole phony impeachment they know is going nowhere. We got another segment coming up. It's going to be focused on phone calls. We'll run through quickly the rest of the witnesses Republicans would like to testify. I think they're probably likely tough. One is good, a likely one is not.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org.
folks. Sean Hannity tweeted it back out. I was on his radio broadcast last week. I expect to be on this week as well. Kind of speaking out for the president's legal team. I'll be on Fox and Friends later in the week, too, as we have the hearings begin to unfold and start analyzing those. But he tweeted back out my book, The Next Red Wave. It's very relevant to right now. We're going to get everybody who's going to get on the show today is going to get a copy. But the reason why is because in the book, we go through in detail about why the deep state is not done after Mueller, why they're going to keep coming at the president. They're going to keep coming at him up until through the election to try and damage him as much as possible, this time through a phony impeachment. But again, it was a mid-level CIA analyst, the deep state. And by the way, it will not be done after that. It won't be done after the election either. They will keep coming at this president through his entire time in office, and I believe that will be two terms, but they will keep coming. So get your copy of The Next Red Wave, still brand new book at thenextredwave.com. It's got all different places you can order it. I encourage you to get the hardback. I think a lot of people have gotten, if you're an ebook reader, because it's got the sites, it's got the information, and you can kind of take this, especially as we enter into first week of public hearing. So check out thenextredwave.com. So, Than, here are the remaining people, and then we're going to take phone calls. So we went through David Hale and Tim Morrison. Looks like it would be very tough for those are the first two that would be very tough for Adam Schiff to say no to. Nelly Orr. Now, people might say, well, wasn't Nelly Orr part of Fusion GPS and the whole Russia thing, and her husband's at DOJ? She's testified a lot before, but they'd say, well, what does she have to do with the Ukraine thing? Well, she actually stated during her testimony before the House Judiciary and Oversight Committees, that was behind closed doors, that during her work with Fusion GPS that ultimately assisted in the production of the phony dossier, which led to the FISA warrant on Carter Page and then spying on the Trump campaign and Trump transition, that the dossier comprising false allegations against then-President Trump, Fusion GPS used information from sources in Ukraine, including a former member of the Ukrainian parliament. So this idea that Ukraine was meddling in our election, like it gets back to, Than, your point of what this was all about from the beginning. But I suspect, again, as Adam Schiff kind of put out, they're not going to let Nelly Orr testify publicly.
I can't imagine they will, Jordan, but there's not a good reason not to. I mean, look, she worked for Christopher Steele. Her husband, Bruce Orr, was the backdoor channel to the FBI for Steele. That dossier that he presented, Jordan, included information from a Ukrainian member of parliament. Now, we know how credible that dossier was in the past. So if there was Ukrainian interference in an election, it would likely have come through a channel like this. And if it's a Ukrainian member of parliament, Jordan, that is an official government actor from Ukraine. So if this is going to be about foreign interference, or if it's going to be about interaction with the Ukrainian government, Jordan, Nelly Orr is a fact witness, a direct fact witness, and by the way, a private citizen. All those whistleblower protections that we've been talking about, definitely not relevant for her.
This is another interesting one, and then two or more groups. So we'll get to the groups first. The whistleblower, again, that's a no by Adam Schiff. And then all individuals relied upon by the whistleblower. I don't think Adam Schiff's even going to ask the whistleblower for that information, even though they would not be protected by the Whistleblowers Protection Act, even if that was a whistleblower that was protected by that act. Adam Schiff's not going to do that. So no to those two. So finally, out of the nine, the third that might be likely, we think, and tough for Adam Schiff to say no to, is Ambassador Kurt Volker, former U.S. Special Rep for Ukraine negotiations. And they want him to testify on Wednesday, Than, with Ambassador Taylor and Deputy Assistant Secretary of State George Kent.
Yeah, and there's no reason he shouldn't, Jordan. I mean, essentially the depositions were asked the same questions. They had different parts of the same conversations. And what Chairman Schiff has done is try to cherry pick the witnesses, Jordan, that, like you said, will paint the worst picture he can imagine, which, quite frankly, I don't think it's going to be that bad anyway. But if he wants a complete picture, Jordan, there's no reason to exclude Volker from that panel.
All right, so there we go. So we think there's possibly Volker, Tim Morrison, and David Hale would be it out of the nine suggested by the Republicans, just because Adam Schiff's hands would be pretty tied in not allowing them. But if he doesn't allow them, just wait for us. Wait for what we have to say. But I don't want to prejudge even his decision. I still think he should allow all of the requests, because that's due process when you're having impeachment hearings of removing a duly elected president from office less than a year before an election. But if he doesn't allow those three, who clearly are relevant to exactly what he said, that I think, again, we will raise all holy, you know. I mean, but we'll wait to see from Adam Schiff. He's going to have to make decisions like on Volcker really soon because they're requesting him to be on that hearing witness list for Wednesday, and it's Monday already. Let's get right to the phones. Justin in Indiana on line one. Justin, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you.
Yep, you're on. Thank you. One, Justin, thanks for holding on. We're going to get you a copy of, let's get him the next Red Wave signed and Jerusalem signed by my dad. Justin, you're on the air.
Yes, my question is this actually an impeachment sham or is this actually a coup? Because it seems like more of a coup because the more dirt they try to dig up, the more the deep state seems to take hold of everything.
Yeah, well, I think this is the problem with how the deep state's gotten. They have tried to basically drive this wedge thin into making it impossible for President Trump to govern with the legislative branch. He can govern through the executive and make all the executive decisions he can and use that power. But by gumming up the entire legislative branch constantly with scandal, it started with Russia on day one, then it's Ukraine. I mean, so it's like, how do they get anything done? Even on issues that there is bipartisan support, it's the deep state trying to prevent the president from moving forward, because when he does move forward, he gets rid of them as well. And so, again, I do think that becomes tougher for them if he's reelected, but certainly they're going to keep at it.
Well, as far as terminology goes, Jordan, coup is the terminology used by the people that were bringing this procedure. So I think it's a fair one to use in this context. But on the substance, you're absolutely right. They're trying to undermine the president for one reason, Jordan, and it's November of 2020. I assure you, if they felt confident about the results of November 2020, they would not be doing this because they would not want to upset the apple cart. They would just let the momentum carry through. But they firmly believe that this is the only way they might have a chance at beating President Trump. That's the only reason, Jordan, that they're proceeding.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We're trying to take a couple more calls that we can. I know, Raj, you called back in. Very quickly, Raj, you're on the air.
For Haman Schiff.
Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
Well, I get frustration, Adam Schiff. He gets elected. We're gonna call, you know, and Raj, you're usually a great caller. I get your frustration as well. I let people call him names. Sometimes I call him names because I think he is Shifty Schiff, and I think he's a liar. And I think he has really bad face for the Democrats to lead this. I don't know. Nancy Pelosi seemed like a pretty good politician, but she just kind of is falling apart lately, kind of like what Senator Kennedy said. So let me take final call of the day. Clarice, you've also been holding on. We got your info. We're going to get you both my new book, The Next Red Wave, signed, and my dad's book, Jerusalem. But get your comment, question. You've got about a minute.
Thank you. This is a direct attack on our Constitution. Our legal minds have got to come up with a way to stop this. This should not go forward one more minute, much less a week or whatever.
I think the best case is it's, which I could see happening. I don't know. Is that this is such a disaster for Democrats? It might like go away next week. Like they may not move. It might be like this never happened because this is such a disaster. That I could see it happening. I likely believe they still want to get that impeachment vote on the president. Ultimately, you have the final say, folks. You can reelect President Trump. Remember our matching challenge, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.